You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Another week, another Monday, but guess what? We are one day closer to the resumption of the 2019-2020 NBA regular season, July 31st. That is the golden day where basketball will return a neutral location, Walt Disney World in Orlando, Florida. Kings basketball returns for at least 8 more games. But the Kings will be in a race, a chance to make the play-in tournament and end their playoff drought. It's about time we get some basketball back. It's about time we focus on basketball talk and actually what's happening on the floor on the Locked On Kings podcast. And today I am joined by another fantastic Kings podcast host from the Kings Pulse podcast. It's Brendan Nunes joining me. We'll talk about this new format, this resumption of the season, and a whole lot more on today's episode of the Locked On Kings podcast presented by Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar on the planet. Hello, everybody. Welcome into Locked On Kings, your hub for Sacramento Kings coverage all regular season, all off season. If you're looking for in-depth analysis, game-by-game breakdowns, highlights, interviews with local and national experts, full coverage of the Sacramento Kings from January through December, this is the place for you, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Matt George. I have the privilege of being your host here. I've been a Sacramento sports radio host for over the last 5 years. I'm actually approaching my sixth-year anniversary at Sports 1140 KHDK, which is the flagship radio station of the Kings here in California's capital. And I've also spent 6 seasons covering the Kings, both as an on-air host and a multimedia journalist slash reporter. And on today's show, like I said, going to be joined by a friend of mine, someone who provides fantastic coverage. The Kings Pulse podcast, I highly recommend. It's very different from the Locked On Kings podcast. It provides different perspective, which is always a good thing. And I think you'll really enjoy my conversation with Brendan here today. So without any further ado, here it is, my discussion about the new NBA season, or the resumption of the NBA season, the completely changed NBA calendar, Marvin Bagley, and the Kings' chances of actually making the playoffs. We discuss it all right here on Locked On Kings. The NBA is finally coming back, and I'm joined right now by a guy that I actually really enjoy talking to and someone that maybe you don't know about, but by the end of this podcast, I think you will know a lot about him, understand who he is, and use him as a source for Sacramento Kings information and entertainment. It is the host of the Kings Pulse podcast, which is a fantastic podcast. Now, don't replace Locked On Kings with Kings Pulse, but partner the two together because you get fantastic content over there. It's a very different show from what we do on Locked On Kings, and that's what makes it so great. I've had the pleasure of being over on Kings Pulse a couple times, so it's about time that I get Brendan Nunes here with me on the Locked On Kings podcast. Brendan, it's a pleasure to be able to speak with you, my friend, and let's celebrate a little bit the fact that we actually know that Kings basketball and NBA basketball is going to return. It's been a wild 3.5 months. It seems like it's been years, but also days since the NBA season ended. The fact that we are going to have basketball for sure coming up, man, that's something to be thrilled about.
Yeah, Matt, to start, man, I really appreciate you bringing me on the show, man, and extending an invite to me. And yeah, same as you, I could not be more excited to get the chance to watch NBA basketball and Kings basketball more specifically, and for them to get a chance to end this playoff drought going on, and they were playing some great basketball to close out the year. You got to think that they're going to be able to get back into the groove a little bit going to Orlando as one of the 22 teams.
Yeah, so 22 teams, like you mentioned, going to Orlando to participate in this tournament. They're playing 8 more regular season games, an opportunity for a play-in tournament, and then we go to as normal of a playoff in terms of 7-game series, 4 rounds, as you could possibly get. I personally wasn't a big fan of the fact that they are playing 8 regular season games, although I understand why from a financial standpoint, and I do appreciate the tweaks that they've made to the play-in tournament instead of making it all the bubble teams plus the 8th and 7th seed. They've now just made it between what would be the 8th and 9th seed. I also love the stipulation that they put in there about if the 9th seed is more than 4 games back, they just award the 8th seed the final spot, and that's it. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts overall when you saw that they are going to be playing 8 more regular season games? Was it more, hey, I'm thrilled because we're guaranteed to see 8 more Kings games, or were you more of, I would have rather have seen a tournament and then the start of playoffs?
I'm kind of torn. I understand the 8 games. There needed to be games before playoffs, obviously, for Sacramento's point of view and the other teams sort of on the cusp of catching Memphis, who had a hard schedule coming. But I think a lot of these guys need games to get back into game shape. You hear a lot of players saying that, you know, they're doing all the conditioning on their own, but there's nothing like getting out there and getting some run in. So maybe a tournament could have worked for that as well, but I'm totally fine with these 8 regular season games they got going on, like you said, for some financial reasons, obviously for the league, and also to get all the guys back in good shape. And I mean, I think it's fair. Like I mentioned, Memphis had a terribly difficult schedule to close the season, and every team is going to have a bit of a difficult schedule with these 8 games that, my understanding, are not fully laid out yet, since, you know, if Sacramento were going to play throughout the end of the regular season, the Hornets, Knicks, Pistons, Timberwolves, bad teams, those are not part of the schedule anymore. So everyone has a little bit of a harder schedule, but I'm glad that, like you said, we get at least 8 games of Sacramento basketball. And if things are clicking right, you know, they should be fairly healthy with this break that they've gotten, along with the other teams, obviously. I think there's a real chance that they are fighting for this 8 or 9 spot and going to end up in that play-in tournament. So I'm just really excited, and I think that the league did a good job with a really tough situation.
I'm glad you brought up the schedule because, and like you said, yes, they did do a good job with a tough situation, and I understand this might make things more complicated when it could be already complicated enough. But I talked about this on KHDK's morning show, The Drive, with Jay Mars a lot last week. I'm in the camp that I would have preferred they completely reformat the schedule. Take those final 8 games and make sure you are scheduling opponents that have direct impacts on the standings. Meaning, I think it would be fair for the Kings, even though they've already played the Grizzlies 4 times and went 3-1 against the Grizzlies in those 4 games, by the way. I think it would have been fair for the Kings to have another game against Memphis so they have a chance to beat Memphis and make up a game rather than having to rely on Portland and the other teams to beat Memphis. I would have loved to have seen maybe some games between like the Rockets and the Mavericks or the teams that are in the middle of the pack right now that are jockeying for position, because we're paying attention to the bubble race, obviously, here in Sacramento. But, Brendan, there are some massive races going on in terms of playoff positioning in the middle of the Western Conference standings. Now, also, there is no home court advantage, so how really important is it? Who knows? But every position and every seed can make the difference in who you are taking on, not just in the opening rounds, but how late it is until you take on one of the big juggernauts, like a first or a second seed. So I'm a fan of, or I would have been a fan of, reformatting those 8 games to make them more picking specific opponents and then taking the remaining schedule into account and making sure that you're working the right amount of opponents in. Are you a fan of that idea, or are you okay with, you know what, just take the next 8 games against the one of the 22 opponents, take those next 8 games and just play them out like normal?
Yeah, I mean, what you're saying definitely would be more entertaining, I feel. It puts a lot of pressure on the schedule makers, which there already is, to kind of work everything out. But I think it's a little more black and white with what they have now. And yeah, I mean, the way that the schedule gets laid out either way is going to have a lot of implications for this. And I think that just kind of sticking with, you know, you do only play these certain amount of teams, set number of games throughout the season, and kind of sticking with that, I think that they just tried to keep it simple. I probably would have enjoyed your theory and idea more here, but I understand the reasoning, and to me it seems more simple to kind of make the schedule based on what was already going to happen.
Quick pause here as I want to take the time to tell you about Built Bar, fantastic sponsor of the Locked On Kings podcast, and of course, the best tasting protein bar ever. These Built Bars are tasty. It's a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. They have 20 amazing flavors. The bars are covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft and they're easy to chew. If you've heard me talk about Built Bars before, you know that I'm not a protein bar guy, even though, take a look at me, you know that I need to get some more protein into my diet. But I've never been a fan of protein bars and protein drinks. Built Bar sent us a box before they became a sponsor to try it out, and I and my wife fell in love with them right away. They are so delicious, you wouldn't even know that protein is in there. Like I said, they taste like a candy bar, and they are great for you. Built Bar, perfect for the health-conscious guy or girl. You can lose or even maintain weight while you're indulging in a delicious treat. These bars are low-calorie and low-sugar, but high protein and high fiber. And they have so many different wonderful flavor profiles. And I don't know about you, my experiences with protein bars and protein shakes, they have an advertised flavor. This one's chocolate, this one's strawberry. But when you taste them, you taste more protein powder than you actually do the strawberry or chocolate flavoring. That is not the case with Built Bar. The flavors of these bars, they are 100% authentic. As advertised, that is what you will taste. And that was big for me and my wife. Now, here are two favorite bars. My wife's favorite bar is the peanut butter brownie bar. 20 grams of protein, 170 calories, 3 grams of sugar, 3 grams of net carbs. My favorite bar was the mint brownie bar, 15 grams of protein, 110 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 5 grams of net carbs. Both delicious, and those are just two of their 20 amazing flavors. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, all one word, LOCKEDON, and you'll get $10 off of your first order. That's promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at BuiltBar.com. Before the season stopped, the Kings were playing really good basketball and were expected to get Rashawn Holmes back. There was also the expectation that Marvin Bagley was not going to be around for pretty much the remainder of the season. And we're going to talk about Marvin Bagley in a little bit because he's an important piece to what the Kings are going to be trying to do and is a really big talking point for these final 8 regular season games for Sacramento. But overall, even though the Kings were playing better, I still felt that they didn't have much of a chance to catch Memphis. It wasn't so much catching Memphis. I just thought there were going to be other teams, Portland specifically, that were going to be able to make up that gap and steal that spot away. I just never felt like the Kings had enough to actually make the playoffs. That being said, it could be a very significant advantage for them getting these 3 to 3.5 months off, plus the training camp time for them to get back in shape and maybe revert back to Kings basketball from 2018 when they're just running players and running teams out of the gym and taking advantage of those bodies that just aren't quite up to shape yet. Do you give the Kings a better chance to make the playoffs or even the play-in tournament in this scenario more than you gave them based off of how they were playing during the regular season?
Man, it's rough because obviously this whole season for Sacramento has just been a roller coaster ride. There's moments where they feel like a clear, 8-7 seed from the level of play that they have, and maybe you could debate higher. And then there's other moments where, wow, you really understand why maybe this team should be at the bottom and picking early in the lottery. But, that's why it's difficult and really depends which Sacramento is showing up, obviously. And like you said, I would like to see a lot of this pace. I think that would help a lot, specifically with Marvin Bagley there. I kind of theorized that a lot of the reason Luke played slower, which obviously was to improve the half-court game that really needed fine-tuning there, but not having Marvin Bagley. I think that Marvin Bagley worked great in transition, obviously alongside the self-proclaimed fastest player in the league in De'Aaron Fox. So I think that since there were so many ups and downs with this Kings season, if they come in a little optimistic, which I think they have reason to, they can really play well for a stretch of 8 games, and I have faith in them to do that. So I would say I feel a little better, but it's not all too much. Same as you, I was skeptical that they would end up making it. Mainly, I think you mentioned the Blazers. I was a little more worried about the Pelicans. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I think that if Sacramento can come out and it's going to be all about these first 1 or 2 games and really show out in those, they can ride the momentum and sneak into at least that 9 spot and get this little 2-game play-in tournament.
So overall, a lot of teams in the same position. It's kind of a crapshoot. Nobody really knows where or how this is going to go or where it's going to go. Everybody, for the most part, is on a even playing field. So keeping that in mind, what record does it take for the Sacramento Kings to make it in your mind?
Yeah, man. You got to win at least 5 games here. And I think that there could be an argument for more because a lot of these teams, like to me, the Spurs and the Suns, I think are going to realize that they're not going to be making it here.
Right.
And especially with the news of LaMarcus Aldridge not being available that just came out not too long before we started this. I think that it's going to take at least going 5-3.
Yeah, I've heard 5-3 being thrown out a lot. My number personally is 6-2. And to back up a little bit, it is possible for the Kings to play well enough, being only 3.5 games back, that they can completely outright steal the 8th seed from Memphis. But that would also require a pretty significant collapse from the Grizzlies, which is possible based off of their schedule. But with only 8 games remaining, that's a pretty significant gap to make up. So at this point, I think we all agree the Kings are playing for a shot at the play-in tournament to try and beat the Grizzlies or whoever's in the 8th seed twice and make it into the playoffs that way. So it's going to be an uphill battle regardless. That's why I think 6-2 is what it is going to take. And if you're looking at the Kings' projected schedule or believed schedule, there's really only one, you could argue, two quote-unquote easy games in there, which include a matchup with the 8th seed in the East, Orlando Magic, and a matchup now with the San Antonio Spurs, who are going to be without LaMarcus Aldridge. That would be the final of their 8 games. Other than that, I mean, you have meetings with Houston, you have a meeting with Dallas, you have 2 meetings with New Orleans. It's going to be a really, really tough road, and we're going to need to see a Kings team that plays to their strengths and really a lot of individual stars. De'Aaron Fox, I'm looking right at you. Need that yep. those people to step up if the Kings are going to win those 6 games. The Kings are going to have to take the league and take advantage of this time and take it by storm, essentially, or I don't think they have much of a shot.
Yeah, I would totally agree there. And I like that you mentioned Fox, obviously the leader and captain of this team in regards to play and just ball in his hands, orchestrating the offense most of the time. And I think the highest impact player. I think there's been moments this year, I think of a Blazers game earlier in the year where De'Aaron Fox just decides he is going to take over. And I think with the playoffs really being within reach and every single one of these 8 games mattering so much, I'm hoping that we get a Fox that decides that, you know, I'm just going to go out and put my imprint on this game and just I'm going to have the ball in my hands more often than not. And I think that he could have a major impact, obviously, along with a lot of these other guys. We saw Holmes playing well, and I'm sure we'll get to Bagley, who I think is going to be a really big X factor for this team as well.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up X factor, because I'm scrolling through your Twitter and I'm trying to find it. Someone just put out the tweet of, or just a general question of, who's going to be the X factor on your team as one of the 22 teams in this tournament or in this abbreviated remainder of the season. And if I'm not mistaken, you put Marvin Bagley, did you not?
I did.
So
I did.
Can you explain why you pick a Bagley there over, to me, my pick would be De'Aaron Fox. And it's an obvious answer. He's the head of the snake. He's the leader. I believe Fox is going to have to carry this team if they have a shot. Why do you pick Bagley as the X factor?
Mm-hmm. I pick Bagley because I think he's the biggest swing. I think that you're going to get a high level of play from Fox, and I don't have too much question of that. Like I said, I'd like him to be able to take it to another level than he has. But for Bagley is a really big question for me. And he has the potential to go out there and, you know, be a 2010 guy. And we'll get to it. I don't think he should be starting just because of the fit with Rashawn Holmes.
Yeah.
But when Bagley was out there, there were moments, I mean, this season, Bagley, him out there gives the team the worst defensive rating and one of the worst offensive ratings as well. There were a lot of moments where it felt like a lot of the game had to be funneled through Bagley. And obviously we're only talking about 13 games that he got to play, but there have been moments, as much as I hate to say it, that Bagley has been a negative on the floor.
Yep.
And I think that he's extremely capable of having a positive impact and really contributing to winning basketball. So to me, he is the biggest swing in regards to he's the guy that I'm not sure he's going to have the impact, but if he does, it'll have a great significance for the Kings in making this.
The question of should Bagley start or should Bagley come off the bench, assuming he's healthy and is going to play, which all indicators point to that being the case, even though we haven't heard for sure from anybody from the Kings medical staff, but it looks like he's going to play. So now the debate is, do you start him right away? Do you bring him off the bench? And it's really an impossible question to answer right now because the Kings are going into what will end up being a 3-week training camp. And to me, those 3 weeks are going to be instrumental to Luke Walton's final decision. And by that, I want to hear Luke Walton tell me or tell reporters, look, every single day in every single scrimmage scenario, we had Marvin Bagley and Rashawn Holmes playing together on the same team during a scrimmage. We made sure that they were working together. One was on the perimeter when one was inside, or maybe you're doing high post, low post. We really focused on trying to get the two to be cohesive so that they can work together in 6 to 8 minute chunks. Now, even if they're starting together, that doesn't mean they have to share the floor every time both of them are in the game. We can make sure to rotate them and stagnate them in and out. But overall, I want to hear from Luke Walton if he decides to put Bagley into that starting lineup. I want to hear from Luke Walton that, yes, we tried it. We tried a lot of different things. It was working, so we're going for it with it. That being said, I still think the absolute right decision is bringing Marvin Bagley off the bench based off of the information we already have and based off the fact that it's not Rashawn Holmes that needs to fit with Marvin Bagley anymore. It's the other way around. Marvin Bagley needs to fit next to Rashawn. Marvin Bagley needs to fit with Fox, needs to fit with Bogdanovich, and I like his potential fit with Bazemore and with Hield and that bench unit.
Yeah, I do too. And I think that I have been in the camp of Marvin being a five, and obviously that's not going to happen alongside Rashawn Holmes. I would love to see Bielitsa alongside Bagley at times, or there was a lot of Barnes playing the four this year, especially towards the end with a lot of injuries. I think that that would bode well, especially if you're talking about running a lot in a bench lineup. I think that part of Bagley also being on the bench for me is I think there's an opportunity of him getting to play the five more, where I think he's a little better suited. And I want to flip it to you. What do you think of Harry Giles' role? Because there were moments towards the end of the season before it was shut down due to the whole COVID thing, obviously, where I felt more comfortable with Alex Len out there than Harry Giles. So how do you feel about that sort of backup center role?
No, I 100% agree with you. I liked what Alex Len was bringing. And what Alex Len was bringing is one of the things that I want to see Marvin Bagley bring. And specifically, I'm just talking about setting solid on-ball screens. I know you break down film, Brendan, so you've noticed this probably just as much as I have, and it makes me want to pull my hair out when Marvin Bagley plays. We know Marvin is a scorer. He wants to attack. He wants to work on the low block or even in the high post, and he wants to get opportunities to finish around the rim in pick and roll scenarios. But Marvin Bagley is addicted to the slip screen, except he doesn't slip screen. He doesn't have the right timing. He either leaves too early and then does nothing for De'Aaron Fox, or he leaves too late and gives his defender and other defenders enough time to cut off his lane to the rim. It's something that Marvin Bagley needs to work on, and it will take his game to a whole nother level, and it'll take his fit in the offense to a whole nother level. And Alex Len, to me, is the perfect example of that. Now, is Len a same player or similar player to Marvin Bagley? No, just look at their body types, right? Len is much bigger, is going to be more of a bully down low to grab rebounds. Bagley is thinner, more versatile, more athletic. But Alex Len has shown us and reminded Kings fans what it's like to have a big man that just sets solid screens, who can use that to get his ball handlers some space. And if De'Aaron Fox gets space, we know how versatile he is attacking the basket. So you give Alex Len and you compare that to Harry Giles. Now, I love Harry Giles' passing ability in the high post, but Giles doesn't set the screens that Alex Len does. And to me, it's all about optimizing the main pieces, a.k.a. De'Aaron Fox, on the floor. That's where I give Alex Len the edge, but I imagine Walton will leave it up to matchups.
Definitely. And a lot of it, to me, comes down to the defense. I think, you know, Sacramento allowed the highest opponent field goal percentage at the rim this season, and Rashawn Holmes was great in trying to slow teams down there. I mean, he took ridiculous strides. I don't think any of us expected him to be the rim protector that he was this season. But when it's not him out there, Harry Giles is, you know, fouling ridiculously. And Holmes also was a fouling machine at times, even while he did have nice positioning and was able to deny some shots. And Len, being this huge 7 foot plus frame, has nice positioning to him as well, moves quicker than you would think for how big he is. So a lot of it came down to the defense for me, especially when you're considering that, you know, the other guys on the floor are Nemanja Bjelica and Buddy Hield at times, who have a lot of their own struggles and could use an anchor behind them on defense. That being said, the counter also for Harry getting minutes, because I think that he needs to get thrown in there. And, you know, if you realize he's in a groove, keep him in, because he can really impact games if he gets going, is that he can work well when he doesn't have a big defensive responsibility, because he's mainly matched up against opponent bench units. So I think there's moments that Harry can do it, but for the most part, I'm more comfortable relying on Len.
Something that blows my mind is we had texters and even my co-host Jay Mars on KHDK brought this up, and it was such an easy question for me to answer, but some people I see are genuinely wrestling with it. How should the Kings use these final eight games? Should they look to the future and try and implement Bagley and figure out what they're going to do with Giles and try and make things as good as possible for next season? Or do they go all in to try and make a playoff push and end this playoff drought? And to me, the answer is obvious. You're in a playoff position. You absolutely go for it. And if Marvin Bagley is potentially holding you back from that, sorry, Marvin, your development is still important. We see you as a future star for this team. But look, dude, you haven't played 82 games yet in your career. We're trying to end a playoff drought that's lasted 14 years. We're going for it. And I look at experience and I say, yes, it's important that Marvin Bagley gets experience. But is that more important than De'Aaron Fox getting playoff experience? No, absolutely not. So to me, it makes 110% sense to go all in and just try and make the playoffs. And if you can incorporate Bagley in that, great. But if you can't, you know what, hold him back a little bit or make him a 15 minutes off the bench per night type guy. And if that pisses him off, I'm sorry. I need to win basketball games right now. To me, the Kings should absolutely be in win now mode. Where are you at with that?
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I think it's no question. I think you nailed the nail on the head with the, you know, it's also developing for the future if you do make the playoffs. Playoff experience is just extremely vital to these young players. And like you said, as much as I like Bagley, De'Aaron Fox is the future and the leader of this team. And getting him playoff experience is just absolutely crucial. So I think that obviously, you need to chase and end this drought, and that also helps you in the future. And like you said, maybe it upsets Marvin that he doesn't play, but if Sacramento makes the playoffs with Marvin not getting the most play, and I would hope that that would motivate him more than anything to see that, you know, I'm on a team that's going to be able to make it there, be playing in the postseason. How can I impact this team and contribute, because I wasn't in a great position to do that previously? So I think that, yes, you definitely have to be chasing this 8 seed, and I think that actually helps the future more than people realize.
Let me tell you about the most useful app on my phone and one of the ultimate life hacks. I'm talking about Blinkist. It's hard to find time to sit down to read and to learn more. When you don't have enough free time, you can't read or work on personal development. That's the key word right there, personal development. There is an incredible app that solves this problem, and I highly recommend it. It's called Blinkist. Blinkist is extremely unique. I haven't seen anything like it, and it works on your phone or your tablet or even your web browser. Blinkist takes the best key takeaways, the need-to-know information from thousands of nonfiction books, and condenses them down into just 15 minutes that you can read or listen to. Successful people, like business leaders, for example, they're well known for reading a lot of books. Blinkist is made for busy people like you who want to get the main points of a book quickly, so you can start using that information right away instead of sifting through chapter after chapter, page after page after page. It takes a lot of time. With its audio feature, Blinkist makes it easy, so you can finish a book during your commute, on your lunch break, or while you exercise. 12 million people are already using Blinkist right now, and it has a massive and growing library from self-help, business, health, to history books. Blinkist has the latest titles from bestsellers lists, as well as the classic nonfiction titles you always meant to read, but never had time to. You know, there are a lot of issues going on in the world right now, a lot of social justice issues, and I myself have pledged to be more educated with what is going on and what the message is behind Black Lives Matter and the systematic oppression and racism that they've faced in our country for many, 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 many years. Blinkist has books available with information on this, and I've been able to get through 4 books in a weekend, which would normally take me months upon months upon months to do. Blinkist is incredible, a fantastic resource, and I highly recommend it. With Blinkist, you get unlimited access to read or listen to a massive library of condensed nonfiction books, all the books you want, and all for one low price. Right now, for a limited time, Blinkist has a special offer just for our audience. If you go to Blinkist.com/NBA, you can try it free for 7 days, and you'll save 25% off of your new subscription. That's Blinkist, spelled B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T, like blink and ist. Blinkist.com/NBA to start your free 7-day trial. And remember, you'll also save 25% off, but only when you sign up at Blinkist.com/NBA. I want to switch gears a little bit here, because one of the things that excited me the most about the NBA announcement wasn't even the fact that the games are being played. It was how the NBA schedule is changing. Now, I'm a fan of the offseason. Of course, I'd rather the Kings play games, but I love free agency period. I love the draft. I love the draft lottery. That's where the armchair GMs like myself, really, we have fun with it. And I know you're like that as well. So I'm looking at how this NBA schedule has changed, and they're saying the drop dead date for this season will be October 7th. Then you'll have the draft right after that. And then after that, free agency opens up, and then you have a month off, and then it's training camp, and we're right into the season in December, date to be determined. I love how short that is. That excites me a ton. I'm anxious to see the impact that that has on next season and how long next season's going to be, and if we're completely changing the NBA calendar for good from now on. Who knows? That's all up in the air. But I love how this NBA offseason is being constricted and compounded or confined into just a couple of months. I'm really excited to see what that can do, and I think the month of October through early November is going to be a really exciting time for the NBA, even with no games being played.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to disagree. I think we've waited long enough with no basketball right now, and obviously not trying to be insensitive to the situation. I think that the league is doing what it has to keep everybody safe, obviously, but yes, I'm excited that we're not going to have to wait all too long in an off season. And while the Sacramento is also fighting for this playoff spot, I think that, you know, everybody talks the top of this draft is pretty weak, but I think there's some interesting wings that could potentially impact Sacramento moving forward.
And that's a perfect transition, because that's what I wanted to wrap up with, Brandon. You and King's Pulse have been doing a fantastic job already looking forward to the draft. I haven't even touched the draft yet, because there's just so much between now and that period of time. And I quite enjoyed, to be honest with you, I enjoyed not putting too much stock in the draft last summer based off of the Kings' positioning. But there are potentially some pieces that the Kings could go out and get, and they're not going to change this team overnight, but maybe they can fit in off the bench and just give this team some depth and just help them next season and in future seasons continue to take steps forward. What are some names within the ideal range of the Sacramento Kings, which is probably, if they're lucky, maybe the top 10, but that would require a pretty significant draft lottery luck for them, but most likely in the 12 to 15 range. Give me some names, or give our listeners some names of guys to pay attention to, potentially really good fits for Sacramento if they can slide or land them.
Mm-hmm. I think everybody's favorite, like you're saying, obviously talking outside of the top 10, we've kind of been assuming 12, 13, since that's where they're sitting now at King's Pulse. But the range that you mentioned, I think everybody's favorite is going to have to be Devin Vassell out of Florida State. He is 6'6" and just a surefire 3-and-D player. He's an extremely impactful off-ball defender that's a playmaker there, averaging 1.4 steals and a block a game. His rotations are just amazing. He's a sophomore that is shooting 41% from three, does it off the dribble. I think he's just a great guy that's going to come in, be low usage, make an impact off the ball defensively. And I personally, I mentioned it a little bit with Alex Len, Harry Giles, I'm just a big defense guy. I love Vassell, and it's a high floor guy that's going to come in, and you know, the most surefire 3-and-D guy in this draft. That being said, I've seen his stock rising a lot. I think there's a good chance he is not there. But if he is, that's the dream scenario. And the other two names that you'll see thrown around a lot, and also I'm just focusing on wings. There's a lot that are in this range, but I think it's just what makes the most sense for Sacramento going for a three. We have Aaron Nesmith from Vanderbilt, who is 6'6", and this is just a pure sharpshooter. 52% from three on upwards of 8 attempts a game. He did only play 14 games this year because he had an injury, but I mean, 115 attempts and shooting 52% of them. If, you know, the concern, obviously, I mean, the dream is De'Aaron Fox and Marvin Bagley running a pick and roll. And if you have Buddy Hield and Aaron Nesmith sitting outside with their gravity and able to move off ball screens, he would be extremely impactful there. My concern is he's a little less impactful on the defensive end than Vassell or the next guy that I'll get to here. But I mean, you just can't deny the impact that a ridiculous movement shooter like that is going to have. And then the final guy I'll throw in here is 6'8", so you get a little more size here. It's Sadiq Bey from Villanova. This is pretty much a little lesser version of Devin Vassell to me. All of these guys I mentioned are upwards of 40% from three. Obviously with Neesmith being elite there, but Bay himself, 45% from three on 5.5 attempts a game. And there is concerns with his athleticism, making him not as good of a defender at the next level, because when he was playing at Villanova, he was switching 1-4, really. There were plenty of times he was guarding point guards who have insane speed and able to stay in front of them, even though he doesn't have the best lateral quickness. He is just a very smart defender, and I have more faith in that translating than others, but I think that Bay and Neesmith is what it's going to come down to, and I've seen a lot of people flip-flopping between the two. Personally, I lean Bay because I think that his defense is going to be translatable, and all of these guys are going to be able to hit a three-point shot, so I think Sacramento is going to have a good chance of getting a nice 3-and-D guy if we're talking kind of that 12 to 13, 14 range in the draft.
That is Brendan Nunez. You can check him out, the host of the King's Pulse podcast. Today's episode was an interview with Dave Deuce Mason, Sacramento Kings executive radio producer, former KHDK radio host, and then, of course, the voice of the Stockton Kings, who, unfortunately, the G League not continuing their season. An understandable call, but disappointed we didn't get a couple more Stockton Kings games, as they were fun to watch this year. So you can go and check that out. And Brendan, for those who maybe have not heard of King's Pulse or are considering, maybe on the fence checking it out, what does King's Pulse provide? What makes that podcast so unique and so interesting?
Yeah, we really try to deep dive. We being myself and my co-host Rich Ivanowski, who writes for the Sacramento Bee, we really try to dive into analysis for everything going on and try to break down the reasoning, the why behind the what for everything going on with Sacramento basketball, and throw around our different theories of maybe what Walton should be doing differently. And yeah, I think we just really like to get deep into what's going on with the team and increase our understanding and share that understanding of the basketball that's being played in Sacramento. And I've greatly enjoyed doing it. I mean, the fan base has been amazing. We usually are dropping about 3 episodes a week. And right now I've gone through a series that I have struggled to name, and I settled with a boring getting to know, talking to a lot of different people throughout the Kings community, names, faces, voices that people hear, see all the time, and getting you a little bit of background to understand those people. Like you mentioned, I just did with Deuce, and there's more of those. So there's some variety, but I would say we're mainly analytical and deep diving what's going on with the team.
So go and check out the King's Pulse podcast. Highly recommend it. I look forward to joining Brendan back there in the near future, and also having him back on the Locked On Kings podcast in the near future. And then, Brendan, you also are very active on social media, doing your breakdowns and your analysis and your takes there. Where can they find you?
Yeah, it's mainly Twitter, like most of basketball. It's at Brendan Nunez, NBA. BrendenNunez, NBA. Matt, I can't say thank you enough for having me on the show, man. I really appreciate it.
It was an absolute pleasure having you on. Check out King's Pulse. Check out Brendan on social media. Keep an eye out on all the great work that he is doing, and we'll have to have him back here on Locked On Kings in the near future. Brendan, have yourself a great day, and man, we'll just count down the days to Kings basketball returning. It's on the horizon.
Yeah, we'll be counting down together, man. Thanks again. Really appreciate it.
Brendan was fantastic. I can't wait to have him back on the Locked On Kings podcast, and I really encourage you to go and check out King's Pulse and check out the great work that he does. Remember, don't replace Locked On Kings. Just partner us together. He's going to provide his unique perspective. You'll get my unique perspective. You tie in your perspective amongst both of ours, and hopefully you learn something and you're provided with fantastic Kings information and entertainment. That is the bottom line, and Brendan and I, in that case, we're not competitors. We are partners in that, and I really view him as that. I know he views me as that, and I really appreciate him taking the time to appear here on Locked On Kings today. We went really, really long, but the conversation was so good, I didn't want it to stop. I really enjoyed it. I hope you did too. And a great way you can tell us if you enjoyed it or not is either reaching out to me on Twitter at MattGeorgeKHDK, or you can email me, mgeorge@saclocalmedia.com. Share your thoughts on some of the things we talked about, your takes, any questions that you may have. I'm always open. I try to respond to everything. And so many of you like to send me emails and questions and comments after every single show. I love them. I never take them for granted. So thank you so much. Keep sending them, and I will try to do my best to engage with each and every one of you in conversation. On top of that, a great place for you to let us know how we're doing here on Locked On Kings and make suggestions that you might have to improve the podcast is by leaving a review. And the best place to do that is on Apple Podcasts or on iTunes. So if you can take the time to go and leave us a review, I would really appreciate that. It helps me improve, it helps the podcast improve, and it helps us attract new listeners. And a lot of you with the social justice issues, but also the return of the NBA announcement, some of you are looking for a new podcast, and maybe your friends are out there looking for a new podcast. So help them find Locked On Kings and make this your podcast hub for Kings coverage. And if you could leave a review of that, if you are new, it only takes a couple of minutes. I would really appreciate that. Have yourself a great rest of the day. Stay safe and stay healthy out there. And I look forward to chatting with you next time. My name is Matt George. You have been listening to the Locked On Kings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.